Blog Talk Radio.
To Change Block Talk Radio, where I am your host, Dr. Happy Leah Killings. Whatever you call me a child of God. I'm so excited to be able to be here on tonight, and I'm excited that God has blessed all of us to be able to tune in, log in, dial in, however we're here. Amen. I'm grateful that you're here. So if this is your very first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. As I said, this is Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, where we educate, and we empower. We always share an encouraging word because talking about the word of God is always encouraging. So we always want to make sure that you leave or while you're here, amen, we want you to be encouraged. And then, of course, when you leave, we want you to be encouraged. But nevertheless, we want you to also be educated. It may not be a brand new topic, but definitely one that will give you something to expound on, something to study a little bit more to get a better understanding of what God has for you to learn in this particular lesson or topic. And then we want you to not only be empowered to make the necessary changes that God has given you or laid on your heart to explore and expound, we want you to be empowered to share it with someone else. Because that's the whole point of us being able to be encouraged, educated, and empowered, is to get what we need from God and then to share it with someone else. Amen. So now those of you that have been with me, can you believe I'm moving into 12 years? Amen. In the same vein, in the same spot. Amen. We changed a couple of hours, but nevertheless, we are still here. You're with me. So you've been with me for 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 5 years, 8 years, the whole 11 years. Amen. Praise God. I am excited. If you've just been with me, this is your first time, I'm still excited. Amen. That you join with me and that you're praying with me. You keep me encouraged. Keep me empowered, to keep me studying, to keep myself educated and abreast of the things that are going on in the world, but nonetheless, the things that are going on in the spiritual realm. And so I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your comments. I thank you for your phone calls, for your text messages, and just, you know, the encouragement that you give, that praise God, I'm in the right vein where God would have me. But nonetheless, because there are so many of you, I can't call you all by name. But I have to call two people's name, and that's Jesse and Tammy Stewart, because had they not empowered me, encouraged me, and educated me, I wouldn't have known this was a platform for me almost 12 years ago. And so they pushed me out there and said, you can do this. And so praise God, I haven't looked back, and they haven't given up on me. And so I'm always grateful for them and their example and their prayers through their Mega Ministry group and all of those that they encourage and empower to do what God has called them to do, and that is to share the gospel. Now, the greatest praise I have to give, that is to our Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. Whether you know it or not, amen, he's all of our fathers. So we always start the song with the show with an upbeat song. And I just have been stuck on when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. It has an upbeat tune, and so it gets me in the mood and gets whatever that is that's on me, off of me, amen, so that I can prepare to give God's word. Because when he says yes, nobody can say no. And when he says no, nobody can say yes. Amen. And then I thank each of you for tuning in, because you could be spending your Monday night with somebody else, something else. And so I'm grateful. So I always acknowledge you. And then we go to God in prayer before we start our lesson. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning. We thank you, Father, for giving us your precious gift of life. Father, we thank you for all the resources and all the means that you give us and provide us so that we can exist in this system. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to know you and to know you by your word. We thank you, Father, for being a living word and allowing it to be able to be fresh on our eyes and fresh in our hearts and fresh in our minds so that we can live out the word, so that we understand what it means to live and walk like you. We thank you, Father, that you just didn't stop there, that you allowed your Holy Spirit to reside in us, so that when we read your word and we don't quite understand, or we hear your word and don't quite get the full understanding, that the Holy Spirit massages us and gives us the directions and where we need to go to make sure that we have a better understanding, whether it's through the word or whether it's through another person, whether it's through TV, radio, whatever you use. We thank you, Father, that it is available to us because of the sacrifice that was made for this last and final debt, if you will, that was necessary for you to go to the cross to lower yourself, to allow yourself to be ridiculed and beaten and harassed and just tormented on our behalf. And so for the blood of Jesus, Father, I know there's so many resources that you provided, but Father, those main three gives us what we need to be able to exist in this system. And so for that, we say thank you. We can't thank you enough. We don't have the words. We don't have the talent. We don't have anything that we can say or do to share how much we're grateful for that. And so, Father, the least we can do is say thank you and take the time to say thank you. And so, Father, we acknowledge that you are the vine and that we're just branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear fruit that remains, because without you, we can absolutely do nothing. So I thank you, Father, from the depths of my heart that you have provided this platform for me to share a word. I pray, Father, that you will use my lips, use my heart, use my mind, use the little wisdom that I have, Father, to be able to explain what you have laid on my heart for us to expound on tonight. and let it permeate the hearts of those that are listening, whether they're listening tonight for the first time or they're listening to pre-recorded recordings, that it will still be the same rhema word that is necessary to create change so that we all can be empowered to do what you called us to do, and that is to bring you light, to bring you love, to bring people to you so that they can see you and see you for themselves. And so again, Father, we thank you for everyone that's listening. We pray, Father, that all our hearts and minds are ready to receive, and there'll be no distractions and no delays. And we thank you, thank you, thank you for more than anything, for you doing what you do to allow us to have an intimate relationship with you. So, Father, for that, we say thank you. We honor, we adore you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Dr. Happy Leah Killings, whatever you call me. Yes, call me a child of God. And I'm excited that you tune in on this wonderful Monday, because it was a interesting Monday, to say the least, because many of us around the world, can you believe that? Around the world experienced the solar eclipse in some form or fashion. And so I thought, well, I guess, Lord, it's fitting for us to call it or talk about the eclipse. But how do we do this and make this so that it is a lesson that will give us hope, that will give us meaning, that will give us direction? And so as I watched to try to get as much information as I could from the news and different stations, I had one TV blasting from downstairs. I had one in my room, and I had, you know, looking on my phone, and just different insights. And so I kind of fell asleep. And when I fell asleep, I didn't intend to be on Fox News, but nevertheless, the TV in my room was on Fox News. And when I woke up, my heart was so unsettled. It was so unsettled because they were doing the trial, I guess, hearing, and I didn't catch all the names, and I didn't really want to get too focused in because I wanted to keep my mind sharp for the lesson tonight. But they were going on and on about the immigrants and about, I guess, a senator, governor, I'm not sure, and I apologize for not having the full understanding of the story. But nevertheless, they were trying to get this person impeached. And it was just amazing, all the testimonies that were going on. And it bothered my spirit so much because as people, and I think that's why I changed the topic from the solar eclipse to a spiritual eclipse, on how, and I'm going to explain a little bit of that in a minute, and so I'm getting a little ahead of myself, so forgive me. But nevertheless, how we can be so darkened by information, and how we can allow the current issues of life, good, bad, or indifferent, to block our view from what's really going on, and how it can be an eclipse because it takes us completely away from truth. It takes us completely away from the real issue at hand. And yes, we do have an immigration problem, but it was just comical to me listening to the people that were actually giving these arguments were the same people that talked about how impeachment is part of our Constitution, it's part of the necessary process, but they were so against the same process when we were trying to do that the people were trying to do that with our former president, and how we have to be so mindful, and we have to be so careful when we point fingers, because when we point the finger, many times those three fingers and the thumb are pointing at ourselves. And so when we make decisions, when we make judgments, when we make decisions even, we have to be mindful. Are we doing this for the good of the people? Are we doing this for the betterment of whoever we're discussing or dealing with? Even when we're talking about ourselves, it is so important. And I guess that's why I'm so perplexed and so disturbed at times, because we lean so much on our own understanding that we forget to consult God. And so if he is the root, and many of these people claim to be believers, and so how do we keep missing this step? And we keep missing this step because we have an eclipse, and it's called Satan. It's called the enemy, and he does what he needs to do to block us from the sun. And so I'm so grateful that God gave me in the inner realm, you know, we have to be the sun and be the light for the sun. And I'm not talking about the sun like the S-U-N, I'm talking about the S-O-N. And so if we can't be the light that represent the sun, S-O-N, then amen, we will always be in darkness. We will continue to live in desperation and constantly live voided lives because we can't see anything because everything is dark. One of the coolest things that I learned at a former church was how much light we represent when we have the life of Christ inside of us. And so we can't help it. We can't help but represent light in a dark place. So when you walk into a room, people can't help but notice your spirit because there's nothing you've done. They see the light of God on you because you're authentic and you're trying to be true to the light of God. And so when you walk around in that light, it does change the room. It changes the atmosphere. Nothing you're doing, but because of the love of God is on you, it lights up a room. And so why is it that we get so bombarded with the challenges of life? I mean, and it's easy to do because I'm one of them. I have by no means that imagination have arrived, but I try my best to represent the light that God has. And so sometimes all of us, we get clouded and we allow some of the pressures of life and how I really had to get myself into a different spirit because that weighed me in my sleep. It weighed me down because I couldn't believe all the things that they were saying and making it out like immigrants are thieves and robbers and gangbangers, and they're only here to take our. It was disheartening, and so it was disturbing that we could group a whole group of people that are trying to get here, just like the rest of us did, for opportunity, for a better way of living. And so, yes, we have challenges at the border, but don't make it like the people that are only coming here are coming to thieve us and to rob us and to take what it is that we've arrived, because amen, somebody let us in. But nevertheless, that was my little commercial on that. But nevertheless, back to the solar eclipse. So today was a rare. Some of us was able to see the total eclipse, and so you had to live in the path of totality. But for the most part, it went across North America, and it went through it was interesting watching, like I said, doing my research, seeing how meteorologists and scientists and other things have kind of put the format together so you could actually see the timing and know exactly the path and where it was going and how long it would go and how some people would be affected and how some wouldn't be able to see the complete eclipse. And so I normally don't try to call people's names out, but I have to give Ms. Edie a shout out because praise God, she provided many of us solar glasses so that we could see the eclipse. And so thank you. Because of that, I didn't realize, because I was young and dumb when I was younger, and when we had a total eclipse when I was in middle school or high school, I can't remember which one it was, sharing my age, but nevertheless, they used to say, you know, looking into the sun directly can cause damage to your eyes. You can't necessarily feel it immediately, but you can cause damage to your eyes. And of course, we were dumb, so we tried to do it anyway, not realizing the damage that it could cause. But now, because of how we've treated our planet, and because the ozone layers are different, it really can cause a lot of damage. But nevertheless, we had, in some paths, it was total, the total solar eclipse where it completely got dark. And so I love watching the different clips and watching how each state represented a different time when the sun actually had its full coverage. But nevertheless, there were people that traveled. There were people that were in special places where they were packed the capacity to see this major eclipse. And so little did I know in doing my study that it happens more than we think it does, y'all. And so the only challenge is because we don't get to see it, because it happens in different parts of our world because, you know, our Earth is vast. And so as it's going, and when the moon covers the sun, it, you know, depending on where we are in the seasons and where we are in the tilt of the Earth as it's going around its axis, and of course the moon and the sun have to line up as well. But nevertheless, the major thing that I kept hearing today was how amazing the sun was and how amazing, whether you believed in God or not, it had to be something so great to create it, these three entities that caused this phenomenon. And so as I looked and as I, you know, kind of paid attention to the different descriptions that different people were having on the different stations and the different articles that I was reading, one thing remained true, that people know that man could not have done it. And so because we know that man could not have done that, we those of us that know how to witness and those of us that want to witness, the S-O-N, can take that and use that as an opportunity for us to really minister to people. At the end of the day, no matter how short or how long, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 2 minutes, that the darkness came over the planet, the sun was still the sun. Amen. And it was still going to shine. But, of course, that led to many people in their quirky interpretations about this was the end times and there was tribulations and it was going to be the end of the world, and how many of them use scripture to kind of give light to their predictions. But I'm reminded that the word says that nobody knows the time. And I just believe in my heart that if those of us that really know the Lord and really know the word and we hear him and know him, we know him. He's a gentleman, and he's just not going to come back and leave us hanging. That there would be some major sign, there would be some warning. However, you know, people can take the scripture and make it mean what they want it to mean. And so I'm just going to highlight a couple scriptures that some people were using to justify their belief that this was going to be to the end. Now, the Bible does talk quite a bit about eclipses because, of course, God created the sun, the moon, and the earth. So he would know when those times would come when the moon would cover the light from the sun. But I'll read the first one that God gave me to share with you tonight. It's Joel 2:31, and it says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." Well, we know that the moon didn't turn to blood, so we could be assured that was not true. And then Acts 2:20, it says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come again." There's no significance that he came because we're still here, because I don't plan to be here. Amen. I've often said to the Lord, "Lord, I know that you called me to be a teacher and you called me to be a great leader in ministry, but please don't leave me here to lead nobody. I understand the assignment, but please don't give that to me." But nevertheless, Matthew 24:29 says, "Immediately after the tribulation, those days the sun will be darkened and the moon shall not give light. Stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." Well, don't recall any stories where the stars have fallen. Now, in Revelation, it does talk about a few things that, you know, can be interpreted a little differently. It says, And I beheld that when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And so, of course, we know that this was John's vision, and it was the final book of Revelation. And so we kind of see some of the interpretations of Revelation come into play. Amen. So that is very true. So, amen. At the end of the day, you do need to give your life to Christ and get your life together. Amen. Because he is coming, and we are truly in the last days. And we do see earthquakes, and we do see a lot of phenomenal things happening. I know even in my midst of studying today, I heard about the bridge collapsing and how it's going to take quite a bit of money, amen, like millions of dollars to just clean up and then to reconstruct the bridge, and how many businesses have been affected by that port not being open. And so they finally got it open, but a lot of businesses are hurting because their livelihoods is depending on going back and forth across that bay. And so the most important, I guess, scripture to highlight on the darkness was what we kind of experienced or celebrated last week with Easter. And I thought how ironic that the eclipse was very close to Easter, Resurrection Sunday, or Easter, whatever you call it. But nevertheless, in Matthew 27 and Mark 15:33, it talks about now in the sixth hour when the darkness was over the land until the ninth hour. And so that's basically when, you know, Jesus kind of gave up the ghost. Now, why is all of that significant? Well, it's significant because when we read our master lines of scriptures for tonight, the Second Corinthians, the whole chapter 4, when we talk about how sometimes in the midst of the darkness, is when we get to see the best light. Amen. And so why it was so dangerous for us to look into the sun directly at that moment, because, amen, it was giving its full radiance. And so when we think about our lives in a spiritual walk, how our lives, many times we sometimes kind of chuckle, at least I do, when people give their life to Christ for the first time, how they're on fire, they're excited, they're reading their Bible, they're running to church, they're telling everybody about Jesus, and it just, you can totally tell that they're just amped and hyped for the things of God. And then the darkness comes. And then the darkness kind of covers them for a little while. And then, amen, then you find yourself and you get yourself together, then amen, then you can actually become the person that God has molded you out to be. And sometimes God allows that darkness to come. And sometimes when that darkness comes, we don't quite understand because, oh, Lord, I was on the high for you. You know, I was doing all these wonderful kind of things for you that I'm not understanding why we are now in the presence of all this darkness. And so I like this particular passage of scripture, so 2 Corinthians 4. And so I pray that you don't mind that I'm going to read the NIV version, and then I also want to read the Message version because I love how the Message kind of breaks it down, so it makes it more relative to our life for today. But I'll start with the NIV. It says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, that we do not lose heart. I like that sometimes when the Bible kind of gives us pause, like, we're about to get into something, so don't lose heart. Amen. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways, that we do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. So remember, we were talking about all these predictions that people, and just don't distort the word. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we command ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, and you know what veil means, covered, amen, not completely, but covered, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that the gospel, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, one of the things that I think sometimes we forget is that we don't give a lot of credence to the power of the enemy. And so God blessed me to be able to write a book on the enemy, and it's written in the voice of the enemy. And I thought, Lord, really, you want me to do that? I'm scared of the dark until I was 40, over 40. Literally, I mean, afraid of the dark because the enemy made me believe that he was going to reveal himself to me. And I'll never forget when I went through my deliverance with my number one deliverer lady, mentor. She's like, Leah, why do you think the devil won't come to you during the light? And I was like, oh, okay, amen, revelation. And so she's like, don't associate the dark just with the enemy. Sometimes God uses the dark in order for us to see the light. And sometimes you got to be in the dark in order to know the difference between light and dark, amen. But nevertheless, so he gave me the word to understand that we have power over the enemy. Well, many of us don't believe that because we see all these worldly images. And so it's interesting enough that even the word says that God of this age blinds us. He does. He blinds us and confuses us from the light. He confuses us from right. He confuses us and transforms truth to make it believe or seem to be unbelievable. But nevertheless, it says in the word, and this was written many years ago, so amen, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers and some believers, nevertheless, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we preach, for what we preach is not of ourselves, but God, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants of Jesus' sake, for Jesus' sake, sorry. Verse 6, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made the light shine in our hearts to give us light in the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have the treasure in jars of clay to show that all the surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side. Amen. I love this scripture. This is verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Amen. broken but not broke. Amen. We always carry around our bodies the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our bodies. For we who are alive always over put to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, while life is at work in you. Amen. And so, amen. I'll just keep going. I get excited. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe, therefore, speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All of this is for our benefit, it says you after I say our amen. Benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieved for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. There is so much in that, amen, that I don't even have enough time to break it all down. But nevertheless, I want y'all to really understand that sometimes it gets dark, but just like today, amen, it passed, amen. And then the mother was like, came back, amen. And so it confused the planet. It confused the birds. It confused the bugs. It confused all the nocturnal creatures because it was dark in the middle of the day. And one of the announcers said, we've been able to see the sunrise twice in one day. Amen. And so the coolest thing, spiritual perspective, is when we go through challenges and we go through dark things in our lives and we think that there's an end that we can't come back from, cancer, strokes, heart attacks, heart disease, diabetes, whatever it is that you may be going through, losing your home, losing your cars, whatever it is that you go through, it gets dark. But I guarantee you the sun, S-O-N, is coming. He's coming to your rescue. He's coming. As a matter of fact, he's not even coming. He's already there. Nevertheless, you just see it. You just see it. And so you just got to wait and be patient. It was interesting. I can't remember what I was listening to yesterday. And it was talking about the eclipse. And it was talking about how when you get dressed in the morning and you get your glasses and get your things together, make sure you put on patience. And I thought, wow, that'll preach. You got to put on patience. You got to put on patience. Sometimes we're just not willing to wait, but we have to. And sometimes it seems long. Trust and believe. I know a little bit about patience. I mean, my vision was gone for almost 6 years in the left eye, completely gone. And then the left, right eye started acting funny because it was too much strain. And so they said that I would not regain my sight. They said I would not. There was no way possible I could regain my sight. And 6 years, y'all, is a long time. And so I've given up, completely had given up, completely, because in 6 years, they said 6 months, that I would be permanently blind, and I was 6 years. But nevertheless, I found some patience. I found some courage. I found the Lord. And he said that he could do whatever he wanted to do whenever he wanted to do it and how he wanted to do it, and he did, and I believed it, and I had to stand on it. Now, mind you, I couldn't read it. Well, praise God, I had it in my heart before it happened, because had I not had the word in my heart, then praise God, that light may have been completely snuffed out, because the enemy was doing what he needed to do to keep me silent and keep me quiet and to have me sit down somewhere. Well, praise God, in the midst of all of that, I found the light. Even with the dark glasses on and my head tilted over my eyebrows, I found a way to continue to minister to people. I found a way to continue to encourage and to do the things that God had called me to do. And because of my faithfulness, because of my patience, because I was true to my commitment and my assignment, he allowed my vision to come back day by day by day. I mean, I still can feel the ways that I was feeling each time I had a new testimony to give that I lost some weight from, because, oh, the medicine, it was in pain, needless to say. And so by the time I got to cancer and heart attacks and strokes and all that, I was a pro at being patient. Didn't want to, but I knew that if he could heal me, amen. Allow me to see, amen. That was enough for me, amen. If I have to preach with my lip on my stomach, amen, because it drooped, is a, and Saint, I've seen some horrible things at the Mayo Clinic. It just really defy belief that sometimes the darkness of the things that people have to go through in life, and when they yield to things and yield themselves to God, how God uses other measures, sometimes medicine, sometimes surgery, sometimes whatever, he can bring you back to the, and restore you back to where they're almost, I can't say completely original, but you would think, because, amen, I can't say that I had my vision when I was a baby. But nevertheless, I can see, amen. And so I can do the things that God has called me to do because his grace is sufficient. And so sometimes we get so caught up with the dark things that go on in our life that we forget that the sun, S-O-N, is still shining. Even though that moon is in front of it, somebody still sees the sun. Amen. It's just parts of the world, amen, that is this and that. And so sometimes in our life, sometimes the eclipse of the darkness, amen, shuns out some of the things that we would like to see, the manifestation and the things of God. But you got to look past that. And sometimes we get caught up and we forget. And we don't know exactly how to survive, how to live with that dark part. And so, again, watching the different views from the different people, how they experienced it over the different parts of the United States. I think it was Ohio was I watched first, and then it was Michigan, and then a couple of people in Maine or whatever. But it was Indianapolis, and how the Indy's 500 or something, I guess, is going on. And so they had a lot of people in the stadium, and how everybody was quiet when that seal kind of went completely over where it became completely dark. And how it was completely silent for a few minutes. And then it's so funny how it sparked. All it takes is a couple people to start cheering, and then everybody's roaring and screaming and hollering and rejoicing and excited. And then, I mean, it was amazing to kind of watch, just see how it unfolded. But then I thought, wow, Lord, why can't we do that for you? Why can we do that for something as simple as the moon, which we already know that the moon revolves around the sun? Why was this occasion, this occurrence, so dramatic that the world stopped? The world stopped. And so you do miraculous things every day, almost every hour, at some point in our world, some part. But we don't give you the same celebration. Why is that? Why shouldn't, I love the scripture where it says that we should be thanking him. It says, verse 18, all of this is for your benefit, so that grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Why are we not sharing our testimony more? I had a wonderful thing that happened to me today. Somebody recognized the teaching and then how it kind of echoed. Do you know what that does to you when you know that you're doing what God has called you to do and people celebrate it? And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful when people say, you know, I really was blessed. Not that I'm doing it, because the word even says about doing it for myself. I'm not doing this for me. Although, you know, I'm grateful that God has used me for a long time. I didn't think that I was worthy enough. But none of us are, for that matter. But I thought, Lord, you chose me for all the stuff that I've been through, all the challenges I've been through, and all the things I'm still going through, and you still use me. That is something to rejoice about in your life. What are you going through? And that God still uses you to be an effective witness for him. And so my aunt always talks about, we have to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do, because our witness becomes in effect. And so when we become an ineffective witness, amen, we just don't know. And the Bible says, woe to those that turn people away from my word. We don't ever want to be those kind of Christians. And so I'm grateful that God has the right people surrounding me, that when I think about going off to the left or going to the right, and I have one particular friend, amen. I have quite a few, and I'm grateful, because many people can't say that they have several friends, but praise God, I can honestly say that I have quite a few people in my corner. I mean, and sometimes family can be your friends too, but nevertheless, I have one particular friend that she doesn't cut any corners. And she called, like, Leah, really? I'm going to need you to get yourself together and call me back, because I can't talk to you when you like this, because this ain't even right. This don't even sound like you. You just talked last week. And amen. And I'm not going to let you talk like that. I'm like, but that's so I have to check myself before I wreck myself. Amen. Because our words give life. Our words have power. So you have to be mindful of the stuff that we say, even sometimes joking. And I know that the Lord, for me at least, we go back and forth. And I believe he's just as much as a comedian as I am, because I'm like, Lord, you is funny. You really want me to walk with cancer. Okay. This, amen. Okay. Help me understand this after all the stuff I've been through. But nevertheless, I'll do it. But you got to give me strength, and you got to give me what I need to do. So sometimes, even in the midst of joking, we have to be mindful. Now, mind you, I know my grandmother used to get mad when I used to say stuff like that. She said, you can't talk about the Lord that way. And I said, Granny, I have a relationship. And so I wouldn't normally just, all right, Lord, you know, something's wrong with you. No, I know better than that. But in them moments of darkness, I'm like, Lord, what you doing? I mean, for real. Help us, sister. You got to help me understand this. I'm not understanding. I'm feeling like the scale is not balanced. I feel like you said that you're going to work this out, but I don't see no forest. I don't see no trees. It's just black. I don't see nothing, and I need to see something. So please, something, you know, have somebody call me something. If you can't show it to me, let somebody tell me something. I need something. And so because I believe in the word and because I study the word to show myself approved and so I can rightly divide it, when he says in his word, because I love John 15, that whole chapter, and John 15, 5 and 7, John 15, 7, I like 5, that's my favorite, but 15, 7, it says, if you remain in me, my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be granted. And I can have confidence in knowing that when I go before the throne, he's going to answer me. So he may not answer me right away because, you know, I'm one of them right away kind of people. But nevertheless, he will give me what I need when I need it. And I know for certain that it's him. And so thank you. You got to believe and you got to trust that when you're going through the dark parts of your life, when you're going through the eclipse of your life, that the sun is going to shine, because the sun is always there. S-O-N, he's always there. Always. Okay, I did promise I was going to read the message version. And so, starting with the first verse, and this is, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, since God is so generous, praise God, hallelujah for that, let us in on what he is doing. We're not about to throw our hands up and walk off the job just because we run into an occasional hard time. We refuse to wear masks and play games. Let me tell y'all about masks. I remember years ago, I used to wear masks because I was a people pleaser. And so I would make sure that, you know, I wore this mask for this person. I would make sure that I do this for this person. I jump hoops for this person. I'd hula hoop for this person. I'd ride a bike. I'd juggle balls. It was crazy. And so I went to the same mentor, deliverance mentor. She had a prayer breakfast, and she said, choose which mask represents you. And it was so cool how she used to do her little icebreakers in the beginning, because one of the things that she had prayed and asked God to give her these icebreakers that would go along with the message or whatever she chose. And so this particular message was about wearing masks. And I didn't realize that I had worn so many masks, I didn't even know what my face looked like. And so I thought, I don't know which one to choose. And they was like, it's not that difficult. And it's like, but choose one that you think represents you. And I couldn't choose one. And I was devastated because I wore so many masks. And she said, well, that is your message for the day. Stop wearing masks. Be you. Be the person that God called you to be. Don't apologize for being who God called you to be. Make sure you're being who God called you to be, of course. But when God calls you to be whatever he called you to be it and be happy about it, because none of us were made to be other people. And I think I was so busy trying to be the best Christian because I thought this person represented that and this person represented that, and I'm trying to carry on all these attributes of other people. No, ma'am. God created you individually for you. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. And so if he made me short and bump, a little fluffy, amen. I don't believe that he's going to lead me this way. But nevertheless, I got to walk in it because I'm a king's kid. And no matter whether I'm a fat king's kid or a skinny king's kid, I'm still a king's kid. And so I can't allow the enemy to make me. Amen. I digress. Okay. Back to scripture. I refuse to wear masks and play games. Amen. And I always insert myself in the scripture when I say I. But anyway, we don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. We don't want to twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display so that those who mourn can see and judge for themselves the presence of God. Think the Son, S-O-N, he's living. Have you given your life to him? Amen. The presence of God is on you. You got to allow it to be seen. Amen. Verse 4, 3 and 4. If our message is obscure to anyone, it is not because we are holding back in any way. No, it's because other people are looking or going the wrong way and refuse to give it serious attention. All they have eyes for is for fashionable gods of darkness. They think that they think he can give them what they want and that they won't have to bother believing in truth they can't see. They are stone blind to the day spring brightness of the Messiah that shines with Christ, so who gives us the best picture of God we'll ever get. Verse 5 and 6. Remember, our message is not about ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ, the Master. All we are is messengers, errand runners for Jesus, from Jesus for you. Amen. Saints, be the best message errand runner you can possibly be. Amen. It started when God said, light up the darkness, and our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry the precious message around in the adorned clay pots in our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. We know for ourselves that we are not much to look at. Amen. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God has not left our side. We have been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. Amen. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. And what does that say? He lives. Our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, you're getting in on the best. We're not keeping this quiet, not in your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believe it, so I said it. We say we believe, and what we believe is the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up, amen, alive. Every detail works to your advantage and to God's glory, more and more grace, more and more people, more and more praise. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside of often looks like things are inside, where God is making us new, making a new life, not as a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming of good times. Lavish celebrations prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see will last forever. Saints, amen. Now, last week I asked, you know, are you a CME Christian pretty much? And that was a Christmas, Mother's Day, or Easter type Christian. You just go to church or you just do the things of God when there's an event. Or do you really see the significance of what he died for? Do you really see the significance that was necessary for us to be able to say that we can live, have the Son, S-O-N, in us, and to be able to live the life that God has called us all to in spite of all the challenges that are thrown at us, that we can still say that for him I'll live and for him I'll die? That is why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Not because we want to say that we went to church on Easter. Not because we want to say we got a spring outfit. I remember, though, amen, we used to like getting new clothes, going to church, and then we'd wear them to school on Monday. Amen. And so, you know, nevertheless. But when you don't know no better, you don't do better. But when you know better, you got to do better. Saints, it is significant, the sacrifice that was made on our behalf so that we could have the Son. Not the S-O-N, I'm S-U-N, but the S-O-N. it's significant that we have the S-U-N too, amen, because the sun helps us to live and have being. But nevertheless, it is the S-O-N that allows us to be able to walk in the things of God that will allow us to live eternally. And so as today we think about the eclipse, think about your eclipse and how are you going to represent Christ when that sun, that moon, or that trouble moves. Are you going to be radiant like you just gave your life to Christ and run and tell everybody? Amen. Or are you going to, amen, allow the moon to stay over you? Because it does move. It moves. You got to believe it moves. It may take a minute. It may last more than 3 minutes, 4 minutes. In my case, 6 years. 6 years. I was couldn't see. Amen. But it happened. Amen. And so when I was in a wheelchair, didn't believe I was going to be there the whole time. But amen, I can walk. I can run a little bit. But I'm getting there. Amen. But it doesn't last long. You just got to know and believe and trust in your heart that God, what he said he'll do, he will do. I think we lose heart. I was talking to a new friend, about her walk. And I said, you know, you can get out of that chair if you want to. And she's like, huh? And I said, it's our faith that hinders the revelation and the things of God to come forward in our lives. Because in all actuality, many times we're afraid. We're afraid. And we allow fear to bind us, and because fear paralyzes us. And so, you know, the acronym for fear is false evidence that appears real. Well, in some cases, it's very real. And so being disabled, being, you know, not being able to move, that's very real. Not being able to see, that's very real. But like the scripture says, our main scripture, but we have to believe in those things that are not seen. But we know that some of the things that we see is temporary. Temporary. And so we can really get it in our hearts and in our minds that we are King's kids and that this is not what God would have for me. I mean, we talked about even the story of the man that was sitting at the pool. I mean, the water was there. It never left. He was sitting there. He was like making excuses. Nobody picked me up and take me over there. Amen. He didn't know. Now I know. Now I know. So when there's challenges, I maybe not move as fast as I should move to the word. And that's a challenge that me and the Lord are working on. Going to him first instead of going through the phone. Sometimes I instead of going through the throne, I go to the phone. And I need to go to him first. And I look to him. And how many times I get caught up because I just don't have it in me to read. I just don't have it in me to pray. But I have to find a way to get to that because those dark parts, I got to make sure that I remember the S-O-N is waiting to reveal himself. But many times we like the darkness, sad to say, but we do because we're not doing anything to get ourselves out of that state or stance. We have to get in the word. We have to get in the word. We have to pray. And that's why I love me some Master Life, the series, the training, because you have to understand, you have to stay in the word. You have to stay in the word, and you have to be in his presence. You have to have your prayers lined up with him. That's your vertical relationship. And then you have to be nurtured by people, and then you have to minister to other people. That's a horizontal plane of your life. You have to be in relationship with him vertically, and you have to be in relationship with the things that he created horizontally in order for you to have a full life, a rich life in him. Because that's what he died for. He died for all of us. And so we're to love one another, to share his goodness, to tell people why we're thankful, to show people why we are in the marvelous light from the S-O-N and S-U-N, amen, for that matter. But nevertheless, saints, we got to do our part. And so we do our part by standing and thanking him. And so I pray that you've gotten something from me because, you know, I could go on and on and on. And I always say, I'm never out of talk because I love to talk. Amen. But I am out of time. And so I pray that you've been inspired by this word. I pray that you've been encouraged. I pray that you learned something. If you didn't learn something brand new, that you at least allow God to minister to your heart to tell you what it is that you need to fix or change or study a little more or get a better understanding. And then you put that into play. And then be empowered to make those changes and then be empowered to share it with someone else. Because saints, the moon is going to move, and they need to know the S-O-N has always been there. And that's our responsibility to share with them that the sun is always there. Amen. Just the enemy, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to cover up the light, to make us think that we're in a world of darkness. But there is a marvelous light. We just got to make sure that we're ready for it when it comes. Amen. Well, again, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me. Call me a child of God. I am excited and empowered that God has given me this platform to do Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower. Again, tune in next week so we'll have another inspiring word. I always close the broadcast with my grand's favorite song, Praise God. It's getting on the mark where we're getting around to the celebrate a year of her passing. But nevertheless, she was my number one listener. And she didn't start out that way because she didn't believe women should be preaching. But then she heard me minister a couple of times, and she's like, oh, you're kind of good. Amen. And so she listened, and she listened as much as she could. Amen. And she would tell people. And so I miss not being able to talk to her after the broadcast and talk about what we talked about. But nevertheless, she is in my heart. And so every praise belongs to God. And because it does, I will always pray every praise belongs to God because it does. Now, oh, yeah, there it goes. My switchboard kind of got frozen for a minute. But nevertheless, I want to make sure that you tune in again next week. We'll have another inspiring word. But remember, remember, remember to always, always, always start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your day with prayer. God bless you. Have a wonderful night. Be blessed.